Need your glasses on.
Probably. Yes, it is. It is working. That's okay. Sorry about that. Can we pray, please? Father, I just thank you for this privilege of being able to deliver your word this morning, to be your messenger, your mouthpiece. But Lord, that we know that your word says that the word will not return to you void, that it will, Lord, accomplish everything that you set it out to do. So this heart's here this morning that, Father God, maybe just a verse of scripture, maybe just a confirmation or reassurance into their lives, into their heart, Father God, of what you would have to say to them on a one-to-one this morning. So we know that that will prosper. We know that it will bring forth good fruit this morning, Lord. And we pray as our hearts receive it, but also that our hearts hold on to it. That we don't allow things to come in and tear it away and just put it to nothing to say that this is not for you or this is not relevant for you. That we embrace it this morning. But Father, I'm so grateful for the preaching and the teaching of your word that is laid down, Father God, this morning. And we just get excited and preparing ourselves ready to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I gave you a little bit of a clue what this section was going to be about the astonishing power of Jesus. And in the foundations I will be just sort of comparing it to what man tries to copy and almost trick us into. So we're going to move on from a study of the life that we've been looking at, and we've come to a bit of an understanding, I hope, in resting in Christ is good. It's good to rest in Jesus. You know, we can find things in the world that we think that we're resting in, but Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." He said, "And not like the world will I give it to you. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Let your hearts settled." In Philippians, "Be anxious for nothing, but let all things be known unto God through prayer and through supplication." So it's just through talking to God and saying, "Lord, I feel..." And that's what I was going through last week when I shared with you just now. Just a little bit of anxiousness. So I say, "Lord, you know how I feel. Just bring me to a point of rest." And it's good to move away from things that drive man forward, because we can so easily get embroiled in this, "Well, I got to work it out" type of situation that we find ourselves in. So, and I hooked onto the phrase from the churning place of that place where anxiety churns up in our soul and our spirit, and it's physical because you almost feel it. I remember Steve Parsons saying when he suffered from stress that stress was related to his heart and the heart, and it was almost like a bit of a cycle that was going through, and stresses can bring on manifestations of real things in the body of going on. So it's not just, you know, if you're feeling that and you're wondering why you're not feeling up to the mark, it's probably that. So we can deal with that, and that's great. Come to the resting place in God. So the invitation, which was, and I'll just repeat this and we'll move forward, was in Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is God that gives us rest this morning. And I pray that as we move on from that particular portion, that's not it. What I preach from the Bible will be continued to preach throughout sermons all over the world. It's not, that was not the definitive answer. The Word of God is the answer, and what God speaks into your heart for you, He'll tailor a word for you. It's the Rhema word which God says, "I have tailored it for you." It's a current day word where He takes the word of old, which has always been, and brings it into our life afresh and anew this morning. So perhaps you might be saying, "Well, I've heard all this stuff before." Well, God can take all the stuff that you've heard before and turn it into a word for you today and make it alive, as if it kicks off in your heart and that you've never heard it before. It becomes like a fire shut up in your bones because it's real. And we serve a God that is awesome. So what do we mean by this astonishing power of Jesus? Well, in one of our devotions, I remember it because it was happened to be the one of the ones that I did on the 10th of September, which was Matthew 10. Then it says that at the name of Jesus, great things happen. Do you find that? When people use the name of Jesus, whenever the name of Jesus is mentioned in the Bible, you look at wherever Jesus was speaking, great things happen. I said, well, why don't we adopt this into our everyday? Why don't it become our new language? Not just the new language of faith where we speak the word of God and speak faith. The Bible says that if you see it happening when you pray, pray believing that God has already done it and it will happen. So, well, how can I do that, you might say this morning? Well, that gives you artistic inspiration to paint pictures of things as you want them to be. To see your loved ones saved, to see them sat next to you in the church here this morning, to see this community transformed by the word of God, to see in faith what we saw yesterday, and the hope that some people sometime were, oh, I remembered that church. They were nice, they were kind, they were helpful. Okay, good things to do, but maybe it's what God uses to draw them to the fellowship where they hear the word of God, hallelujah, and their lives are changed. Because it's at the name of Jesus. Everything we did yesterday was not at the name of Mariah. It was not at the name of the pastor or the pastoress, whatever. It was not at the name of you as individuals. It was for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm pretty sure that we put, how can we bless? I remember Linda saying, how can we bless God? How can we bless him? Well, I think we blessed him yesterday in such a wonderful, powerful way. And that great things happen when we speak in the name of Jesus, because he was and is to come. This is for all time. This is not just a one-off offer. And I think it's wonderful. If you turn with me, please, to Psalm 75 and verse 1. Psalm 75 verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, the wondrous works declare. Thy wondrous works declare your great and powerful name. We can see from this verse of scripture that it's all about God. It's all about what God does, and we attribute everything great unto God. It's not that if we attribute everything bad not to God. Some things are just as a consequence of choices that we make, and God allows them to happen. But if there's anything like that happening in your life, then we can look at it as a preparation time. We can look at this through experiences and how you will grow through that. This is a great statement. If it stays there as attributing everything to God, as soon as it gets misdirected to man, that's where the problem lies, and that's where everything goes wrong. Look at the great things I am doing. And we see through different things through this world. We looked at it when we were looking at the resting place in Jesus, about the power of man and what man can achieve. When we look at the Bible, we looked at God, what God, look at the tower they're building. And we read in Genesis how he said, you are not building anything that is going to make you, as they built this Tower of Babel. And they continued to build, and God just took it down and caused confusion by giving them all different languages to now build. Now try and convey messages to one another. Totally confused, because he will not be mocked, he will not be imitated, and we certainly will not be usurped in any statement, in anything at all. It's almost like, well, look what I can do. Look what I can do, disease. And that, you know, you might just think of that running wild in the world, but let me tell you, it happens in the church as well. Because there's faiths and built and ministries and churches and religions and denominations that are built upon people where the people are following the man and not Jesus. If I ever cause you to follow me, and this is great, because in some ways this confirms, because I'm not the most popular person in the world, I would have you know. I'm not the most popular person in the community, I would have you know. Because wherever the word of God is preached, it causes contention, and it causes people to be a bit little shaked and rattled. I could come up to you and I could bestow you with lots of compliments and gifts and do whatever it was. I could win your heart. I know how to do it. But I don't want to win your heart. I want God to win your heart. So I will always preach the word of truth, which I stand on and which I believe, which I hope, which you receive and transform your life. Because I will attribute the great works to God. Hallelujah. And what God does in us. I love it to see the great. I can recognize it, and I see the great works that God is doing in people. And it's great to get into that way of speaking. I love the way that God is working through Mandy and stitch by stitch. I love the way that God is working through Linda in Tiddlers. I love the God that is working through Gary and the homeless, through Craig in the worship. And if I went around, I'm not going to leave anybody off, through Mary with the shoeboxes, through whatever it is. And it's not about work. I love what he's doing in Dillis's life through faith. Because she's standing upon the word of God and she's standing. And you know, please, I'm not missing anyone out this morning. I could find something for each and every one of you. Because you are here this morning, and that's the main thing. See, all this look what I can do disease spilled over into religion. Excuse me for the next little part of this study as I just lay some foundations and some groundwork and... because what happens is that man wants a bit of the action, and as it spills into religion, the created forsakes the creator, because it then looks to something else. It's almost as if they dismiss what God has done. It dismisses the creator as being the God of the impossible, to having to put. And analyze something and say, yes, this is of man. You see, at the time of Christ, religion was a pretty big business. And in the Roman world, which was quite vast at that time, if you look at the maps and the books, and people would travel an awful long way to gather in the temple because they became center places of worship, and almost like they do today, where people go on these, what do they call them? Pilgrimages, yeah. So you got people all flooding on these big cities because they got a name. But they got it's not a name for what God is doing. That's the bit that I want to bring out today. Because you had idol worship of gods. There was Bacchus, which was the god of the vine. And you had Diana, the mother of all goddesses. And a temple, a good temple, could put a city on a map. And that would be good for trading. So you see, there's a hidden motive for wanting to do some of the things that I'm going to share with you next. People would give to see and earnestly seek out and crave an experience with the supernatural. I think people are still doing that today. I don't know about you. Architects and engineers in their design would plan and develop intricate temples to do the impossible, designs that would do the thing. They had things like fluid mechanics, where you would put water in one part of the chamber of this goddess or whatever, the god, and out through the other end would flow wine, and it would appear to be a miracle. It was impressive, and people would do it. You'd have things like figures would appear from sort of nowhere. They would just come out of nowhere, and they would start dancing, and there would be snakes hissing, and thunder, and rain, and all these things, just to impress, just for people to go, wow. Yeah, when God does something brilliant today, we find it hard to even go, wow, look at that. You know, when we look around and we see a transformed life, somebody whose life has been fixed up from addictions and they've been free from the power of sin, and we just go, oh yeah. Wow! Unbelievable. You see, contrast that to the when all this happened, they would bow down. It's like, whoa, you've shown us what can happen. Then they bow down and worship. Then they bow down and worship these idols. And contrast that to the Jews at the time. Worship, for most of the part, some of them were embroiled in this, and some patterns and things that were happening this time were also of the Jews. But for the most of the part, it was a silent God who declined and still does just to amuse his visitors. God's not here to amuse you today. God's here to impress you. God's here to transform you. God's here to change you. God's here to do the miraculous. But it will not be in the form of any of this trickery. And I want you to know from the very beginning of this message, as we lay some things and some truths, is that God is not a God of tricks. He is a real, true God, hallelujah. He is the one and only God that needs to be bowed down and worshipped. He would far rather us bow down and worship without knowing anything. How much greater are those who believe, who have not seen, than it is if we see. But He is gracious, He is kind, and things do happen, and they happen for a reason. Hallelujah. False prophets at that time would gain great audiences by a sleight of hand, and we see it today, don't we? We see magicians on the television, we see people that can make an elephant disappear. Well, it's a trick. And I know we will say, how did he actually make that happen? Even to people that are there in the physical, you see, if they were to actually show you, you're thinking, oh, is that all he did? Is that all he did? Is that a double? Maybe. And he just fell through a hole in the floor and then popped up the other side of it. But I remember seeing a program on Houdini, how they actually showed it. And that's the way they did it. They got a double who he would disappear through the floor on the one side, and he would come up through the floor on the other side of a wall. So there's tricks. So all this trickery, they would when he had the crowd captivated almost to a point of hyping them up and getting them all excited, in a way almost hypnotized. Now you're going to believe anything. So at the point of the miracle, you're just going to come in and attribute it to this false god, to this there. Now you may think, what's all I got to do? Well, the biggest false god that we're facing at the moment is the world, who offers tricks, illusions to people. There's no bigger illusion or trick for the alcoholic than when he says, I'll put this bottle in front of you, and he says all your problems will go away. That's a lie, it's a trick. They're being fooled. And then we see the truth of the gospel comes in and smashes the bottle, hallelujah, and brings that person, the repentant sinner, the one who's messed up life, brings him back and just cleans his life up. Absolutely wonderful. Mark 16:20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I'm sure that's not what Jesus meant when he said this, that the signs would follow the preaching of the word. You shall do things in my name and signs will follow. Not that you shall do tricks. You shall do things in my name and tricks will follow. We will not conjure up the presence of God like the magicians would have done, with these intricate patterns of things that were happening, and it's a lie. It's a bluff. It's not real. You see, anything that baffled the audience seeking a sign, if you go looking for something, it's not going to really take you much to fool you into thinking, well, I can show you what you're after. If you go seeking things in the natural, you see, churches nowadays, they want to see things. They want to see things happening, don't they? Which some churches are just lost the plot. Even some of the ones that I go to, and I think, well, wow, why don't you just get out the way, man. Get out the way and let God do what he's supposed to do. But what happens with that is, you see, that then people come to expect it every time that they gather in God's house. They expect to see a manifestation of something. Am I preaching against God moving in a powerful way? No. But let me tell you, there's no such greater thing than God manifesting through his word and assurance into your heart of who you really are in Jesus Christ. And that's the difference. That's the miracle, and that's the one that we miss so often. Anything that baffled the audiences seeking a sign, they just attributed to the supernatural. Well, in some ways, that's good. I can hook onto that and I can like a bit of that. But the problem is, why some may think that that's good, it was attributed to the wrong source. You see, so while it's good in accepting that man sees the fact that they cannot do this thing, they see the fact that this is something outside of man, they've been tricked into fooling into thinking that. But it's good, I think, on their thought pattern, hold on me today, because people today are not so easily fooled. Well, most people are not so easily fooled. In fact, it could be said that modern man is quite switched on to these things. So when we see those things that I just described to you on the television, when we see those things, that we know that we're actually being fooled. And you might say, oh no, I'm not so easily fooled. Well, I would just ask you to bear with me a moment, and if you can, go cross-eyed and look at the person next to you. How How many are there? Do you believe that? All your senses are telling you that there's two people there. Yeah, you know that there's only one there. So when these tricks and these lies and these illusions by the enemy of your soul comes in to fool you into thinking other than that, why don't you just stand on the truth and say, no, there is only one true God. I don't need to serve over here. I don't need to worship this. I don't need to serve that, because that is an illusion in my life. That is a lie. It's a trick. It's something that has been conjured up to draw me away from the real, true, living God. And that's where we were in the life of Jesus. That's why when he came, he had to do something, which you'll see, which would separate him out from anyone else. We preached when we were preaching about the shepherd before we preached about the good shepherd. It was the one that was going to succeed where everybody else had failed. There was many shepherds that had gone. Flip through your Bible and you will see whether they be a prophet or whether it be a person anointed by God to do whatever it was. They all failed until Jesus came along, hallelujah, and showed that he was the good shepherd. He was the one that says, look, I'm not going to let you down this time. So if you've been let down by previous promises of things of this world and you're still holding on to them, this morning let go and seek out the true, living, real God, hallelujah, in the form of Jesus Christ, his Son, who will set you free this morning. He will not be a God of tricks. He will not be a God of illusions, but he is the God of the supernatural. And you see, anything that the people today, as I say, are not easily fooled, and we're a bit switched on anything that we do not understand, i.e. the supernatural ways of God, well, there has to be a perfectly scientific explanation as to why. And we see it in the Bible, when the man was healed of his blindness, he probably wasn't blind anyway, or they tried to justify it. You see, trying to justify what somebody gives a testimony to someone being healed. Well, was he really healed? Was he really sick in the first place? Was he as bad as everybody has made out? You see, that can so easily happen. But let me say this morning that every now and again, God allows mankind to see through all that and to see and to touch something which is real, hallelujah, that is outside of this world. Something that is beyond reasoning or explanation. You see, when God does something in your life, and others may try to explain it or analyze it or put it down to, well, that would have happened anyway. Well, it was the doctors that did it. It's so easy for us to be fooled into thinking that. Let me tell you, if you're healed this morning, it was a work of God. And God has healed you. God is the healer. Now, what form he uses, I don't mind. I also know that if you step forward this morning, if you had a sickness, and we pray believing, hallelujah, then you can walk away healed today. I know that if you backslide, if you're away from God, you can come and you can be reunited with God this morning, because he is the God of miracles that works beyond where the world will say and your mind will say this morning, I'm too far gone, where God can reconcile you and put you right. You may be thinking about the situation that you've got facing you and you think, nah, I'm not going to, it's just no way that God is going to be there for me. You see, you're bowing down to idol worship, you're bowing down to the ways of the world. And God could break through in a supernatural way and show you that these things are different. John 6 and 14 says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. You see, by the time that Jesus began to walk upon the earth and began to draw people to him, there started to become a recognition of who he was. Now this portion of scripture, this mindset of a disciple, I believe is what the church today should adopt. Because they just witnessed the miracle, talking of the miracle of the 5,000 men, plus women and children. God allowing people to see and touch. If you remember and it'll come up later in the series when we preach on it in more detail. But just for today, if you remember, the Bible says that he sat them down in groups of 50 people. Almost like again, I want you 50 there, I want 50 there, and I want 50 there. And he took the bread and the loaves that were, and he said, I want to give you, you're going to be part of this miracle. Take what you need, break it, and pass it on to the next one. You're going to be part of this miracle, take it. I'm going to allow you to touch this, and I'm going to allow those around you to, the broke in the back, thinking, whoa, hey, don't take too much. By the time it goes back to me, there won't be enough. And then, as you're eating, there's bits falling on the ground, and it's falling down here. You go around and you pass, breaks it off, and he gives him another one. He breaks it off and gives him, I hope he top and tailed the fish. It wouldn't be like the fella that had the fish head or the fish tail. But imagine they were done it the right way. Whatever this boy's lunchbox was, it was going to meet the need. He allowed this miracle. But the blessing was, because he allowed it, the disciples attributed it to Jesus. They didn't say, look, oh, come on. He's got a... Where's the box? They didn't go around looking for the hidden boxes or the food that was tucked away behind the mobile burger van that might have been down the road. They attributed to Jesus. When the people... You should have got the right word, no. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle. What do you do when you see the miracle? Hallelujah, God has moved. Praise the Lord, we give you all the glory. Jesus, this is of you. This is not of man. Man could not manifest this. Man could not conjure up this. Man could not trick me into thinking this, because I saw it with my own eyes. This is a truth. The prophet that should come into the world. The one that was forecast. The one that was foretold for generation after generation. The Messiah. The one that was going to come. The Good Shepherd. And it was not just going to be more of the same old. Like the kingdom of David, as we've shared before, where it was going to be the work of man fighting and gaining power and kingdoms upon this earth. It was going to be a transforming, hallelujah, power which was going to come from heaven. They attributed it to the prophet that was spoken on. Don't try and analyze, or don't try and work it out. Just accept it. I accept the fact that Jesus Christ died for me, that I may be free this morning, because where the liberty, where God is, there is liberty and freedom today. I'm not going to try and justify it. There's no camera tricks here, and I just can do that miracle. It's wonderful. The word miracle is defined in this particular passage of scripture, just for us to have a look at it. It's a sign or a mark that distinguishes a person or thing from another. Or to give a sign. What Jesus did was to distinguish himself from anyone else. So in seeing that miracle today, when they had seen what no one else had ever done before, when they had seen what no one else had ever seen before, when they'd seen, I have never ever seen this before. Oh, so it must be a trick then. No. I've never ever seen this before, so it must be something from is out of this world. Hallelujah. The miracles of Jesus separated him out. And the miracle work of Jesus Christ in you separates out any work of man today. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot earn your path to glory. You cannot earn your place or your relationship with the Father in heaven. Because Jesus himself said, there is no way to the Father but through me. Through the astonishing power of the cross, which you people have never ever seen before. It's never happened before. It separates them out from... Has anybody ever rose from the dead in the way that Jesus Christ did? No. Has anybody ever ascended into heaven the way that Jesus Christ did? No. Has anybody ever performed these miracles that set him out different from anybody else? Has God done that work in your heart? Has he done that work in your life? Maybe you're here this morning just... I'm waiting for God to do a miracle. I'm expecting God to do a miracle. Well, he should. The signs that followed would show him as somebody that is outside of this world. So when we look at this part of the study, you can see the difficulties that Jesus was facing. But I always remind you and say to you again, Jesus just did what the Father told him to do. Nothing of himself, but total and absolute pure faith in the Father. So when we're wondering what we should do, you just do whatever it is that God asks you to do. And it will be nothing of you, but it will be the astonishing power of Christ in you that transformed first of all your life and then those around you. Let me take you to Genesis 1:1. And I know that you know what that scripture says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created it. Not man. Who's creating your world? Are you allowing God to create the world around you? Are you looking around you and seeing the beauty of God's beautiful handiwork? Whether it's sunny, whether it's raining, whether whatever is doing, the colours. I came across the church this morning, probably just after 7 o'clock. What a wonderful moon it was. It was over there. The other night, I was out working Friday night on a licensing op, and people were looking up and they were seeing a fantastic, huge moon. It was one of the biggest. They went into the full moon business and I just ignored that bit, but the huge moon. The moon was huge and it was quite low in the sky. What a wonderful sight. God created that. I don't know, did he create it just for us to look up and see a blob in the sky? I don't know. When we look around and we see, but we look around and we, did he create you just for us to look at me? I'm not going to say the same thing, just a blob in front of me. Because the plank is in my own eye and I see my own life before, just as everybody else does. But it's him that created the heavens and the earth. The point that I want to bring out from this scripture is the miracle that God created all things out of nothing. That he set all the laws, and when we look at the astonishing power of Jesus, he had power over all those laws. Laws of nature such as gravity, we know if we throw something up in the air, it'll fall to the floor. And I know there's theories of flying and stuff like that, but we can't fly. The way that I never work out why how a bird can fly or how some animals can do it and how even a plane gets off the sky. But all these laws and thermodynamics to give order to this world that we live in. And we respect those laws, the laws of nature, they call. And but he didn't just set up the whole cosmos, stand back, wind it up, and just let it get on with itself. Because if it did, it would have fallen apart a long time ago, wouldn't it? And so God this morning, I want to bring this out for you this morning. God wants to be involved with man. God wants to be involved with me and you. And I just thought of that. I remember my little character that I had upstairs of my little man, of this little fella here. You see him? He lovely. There was two of them. He had a partner, not a woman. No, I won't go down there. He was just another one like this. There was two of them, and he toddles along. Yes, and for the purpose of the tape this morning, there's just a little toy plastic grandfather with a stick now walking across the table, and but he's run out already. See, God just didn't wind up the world, whether it was for the lifetime of the world or whatever, and set all these things, and you focused on him. Anyway, in the name of Jesus, carry on walking. It's a miracle. You see, the point I want to make is that God created you in his image, and he kick-started you. But he doesn't back off then and leave you to it and let you run out of steam, run out of energy. There's always something there for you. And let me tell you, if you like this little fella who's just going along in life with his stick, trying to cope, trying to manage, trying to get over the obstacles, then the message that God would have for you today is, I want to be involved in your life. I kick-started you. I want to be part of your life. I want to be there every day that you have these problems. I want to hear from you. I want to see you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. When you fall over, and your legs start kicking up in the air like this. I want to put you back on your feet again, and I want to cause you to walk with me. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen this morning, saints of God. God has started a great work in you. He has wound you up by creating you this morning, just as he has done this world. But every now and again, he needs to come along. Have you ever seen those guys that balance the plates on the poles? And you got maybe two rows like this, and go, and then he goes on the next, starts it up, and you go along and you get all these plates spinning, and by the time he gets to the last one, oh, the first one's going to wobbly, and I make sure it's, and he comes back to this one. 7 billion plates. God has the capability of lining up 7 billion plates and keeping them all going at the same time. Isn't that amazing? Can man do that? You've struggled with this two rows of however many to keep going. And that's what happens if you allow man, or the things of man, to overtake your life, to think that you've got it all worked out. I can keep this plate up. I can keep everything going. Oh yeah, I got to do this over here. I got to do this over here. I got to do this over there. I got to do this over here. Let me tell you, if that's your mindset this morning, the plates are coming down. Crash. Because pride goes before a fall. And suddenly you're wondering, where are you, God? Well, actually, I was here all the time. You took off on your own. Now come back to me, and as we shared with the potter, I'll make you again. Amen. God is good. Show us a sign, Lord. Don't show me a trick. Show me it's you, Lord. Be real in my life. God will dramatically defy the laws of nature and the laws which have been set up in your life.
Amen.
To establish a divine event. Has he not done it? Has he not broken some laws in your life? I'll come to that one in a minute. But I just want to show you some things that God broke through on and showed a sign that he did not, something that he alone could do. And if it were, if he did not break through on some of these situations, then there'd be some big trouble. Exodus 14:22. The children of Israel went through the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Can you just imagine being a person in the audience that day, being a part of Israel, being part of God's people, when you get to that place, and they'd already come to the conclusion that the enemy were behind them. There was fortresses either left or right, and that the only way that was before them was this sea, and there was nothing that they could do about it. You may be thinking this morning that they're surrounded by all these problems, and I cannot find a way out. Well, God breaks through the natural. How on earth can this happen? The parting of the sea. Amazing, to make a path for you. So the message that comes out on that to you this morning, if you're wondering which direction they're going, God is the one that sets the path forward. Because it says in Proverbs, doesn't it, 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and he will direct your paths. So he's directing your paths. He will cause you to walk upon dry ground. Impossible situations, it's just another opportunity for God to break through. Hallelujah. In Numbers 22 and 28, there's a story there. It says, and the Lord opened the mouth of an ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that you have smitten me these times? It says that she said, I'm not going to make any reference to this donkey being a woman. But I tell you what, it's the women in this world that speak so often to the men of this world words of wisdom and words that change things. But the point I want to make out on that is God can use anything or anyone to speak to you. And all I can ask you to do, or encourage you to do this morning, is in the strangest of situations, just allow God to do that very thing. In 2 Kings, I'm skipping through these because these are not things that I'm going to preach on in any depth this morning. 2 Kings 6:6, and the man of God said, Where did it fall? And he showed him the place. He cut down a stick and cast it into it, and the iron did swim. A chunk of iron floating on water. Isn't that amazing? Can man do that? For whatever reason it was breaking through, God was defying the laws of nature. This should not have floated. This morning you may have that sinking feeling. God can cause you to rise above the waves, to rise above the storm, just as the Bible describes the way that Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water. He should have sunk, just like this iron axe head. It should have sunk, but it didn't, because God broke through the supernatural laws of nature to the situation, the circumstances around him. And whereas in the world and on your own these would cause you to sink, God says, I will cause you to rise above these. You will become a person who will walk on water and defy all logic, defy all explanation. And when that happens, you will attribute it to God. It is a work of Jesus Christ. No one else could have possibly done that. Daniel 3. This is amazing when you go through just some of the powerful works. This is just a little taster this morning of what's to come and what God can and is and will do in your life. Daniel 3, 23 to 27. I know you know this one, and it's a wonderful passage of scripture. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They assured and said unto the king, yes, we did. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High, come forth, come on out. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth to the midst of the fire. The princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies fire had no power, nor was their hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. God honoring those who failed to compromise, those who would not compromise, and who spoke to the king and said, my God is able to do this, but even if he didn't, I will not bow down to the things of this world. If that can be the words that a Christian speaks this morning, as you as a saint of God can speak this morning, then God will honor you. Don't have plan B, C, D, E, or F. Stick to the plan A, the Alpha plan, the Alpha mind, the Alpha power, the Alpha authorization, the Alpha miracle this morning, who can break through on your life, and regardless of how hot the furnace gets, because he will test you in the fiery furnace and bring you forth as gold. Getting rid of all that dross, all that mess, all that muck from your life, and bringing forth something precious. Look at him. Look at her. This is my son, my daughter, who would not stand on the ways of the world, but would stand on the ways of God. And I will do the miracle. I will break through the natural laws. Fire should consume. Fire should burn. There was no singe, no smell. It adds it all in, doesn't it? And it was witnessed. No trickery. They didn't even go through any side doors. There wasn't any trap doors. There wasn't any back doors. God allowed those to see and to touch and be part of it. And the blessing I always love from this portion of scripture in reading this is that the mindset of those in the world, those who were looking on, all the counselors, the kings and everyone else, was changed. And they gave their lives over and said, I want to worship your God, because I've never seen anything like this before. And the world will look on to the transforming power that God has done in your life and say, I want to worship your God, because I've never seen anything like it before. I've never seen someone come through what you did before. I've never seen anyone come off what you come off before and be transformed. They normally go back to it after a while. Your life has been transformed, changed. Hallelujah forever. Praise the Lord God on that. And then we see the wonderful miracle of the birth of Christ, where God breaks through on a young girl's life, and touched by human hands to conceive a child, who just so happens to be his only begotten child, is Jesus. Wow. And the world will look on. And sometime soon after, the world will begin to see, I've not seen anything like this before. This is someone who is going to change the world. Miracles remind us of the impossible. Miracle reminds us, as the angel reminded Mary, how can this happen, she said. How can this happen? Because I haven't been with a man. How are you going to do this? And then the angel just said to her, for with God nothing is impossible. So the same message comes to us this morning, to your life. With God, nothing is impossible. Now that list of miracles performed by God is pretty impressive, isn't it? You don't see those every day. You don't. Because miracles don't happen every day. If they did, someone said they would be regulars. And they don't. So does that mean that it's like a lottery? I don't think so. I accept that God can do whatever he chooses to do as and when he needs to do it. But you see, the point is, like Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, whether he chooses to or not, it's not going to stop me believing that he can. And it shouldn't stop you believing that he can break through. See it, believe it, embrace it. And perhaps this morning God can bring it into your lives. But there is a bigger and more longer lasting miracle that God did, which I've already spoken about. A miracle that we so often take for granted. One that is going to take us to eternity. And that is the miracle of the cross over there. Those flowers beautiful this morning. My thoughts when we saw those red flowers was the blood of Jesus flowing down the cross. And this other round one, which was on the bottom there yesterday, flowing down to the world, to a beautiful but broken world. You see, there's a miracle in that this morning, that which we so often take for granted. And I just want to explain that as Romans 8, 1 and 2 best explains that this morning. Therefore now if there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin unto death. You see, there is a law of sin unto death, that no matter what man does, I can't change that. There is nothing that I can do. If I sin, the wages of sin are death. If I sin, it separates me from God. That is a law. That is a truth that the world sadly doesn't embrace. And that is a truth that we can so easily take for granted. You see, because it said there is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that set me free from that. Jesus Christ broke through. God broke through when he sent his Son to this world to make a difference, to show him that he is not like anybody else. And the astonishing power of Jesus was to overcome sin and death and hell once and for all. Those who with God in Christ. God, hallelujah, broke that law. And that is the one that we rejoice in this morning. That is the one that we sing psalms and rejoice into. We praise his wonderful and beautiful name. And we're able to view life's afflictions, maybe misfortunes, maybe disappointments, hunger, the chaos and the disease, you know, all stuff of life. They're going to come up, aren't they? They're all over the place. But we can see them as a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations, for God to break through. So if you're looking at your life and you see some of those things this morning, why don't we just change our mindset and say, well, God, you broke through upon the cross. You broke through and you caused me to be an overcomer. You become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. A divine event. That is the purpose of miracles this morning. A divine event to be established in your life. God is here this morning. Maybe he's already done that. Maybe he's already spoken into your heart this morning. I don't know. But I know that God is here to have a divine event with you, to break through on something. Maybe your mindset. Maybe encourage you, to lift you up, to say, hallelujah! I now see God in a different light again. He has brought a rhema word into my heart this morning. He has encouraged me. He's just inspired me. Because there's nothing happening in your life today that if you ask Jesus that he could not break through and take control or want to be part of, wind up again and start you off and keep you going. God has the power of all things. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to try and involve some of the other teachers and preachers in the church to share these things. Maybe before I do that, I just want to pray right now for you to believe that there is a power, you know. I don't know whether you believe that this morning. If you believe it, you can start to call upon your God this morning. You know the situation that you find yourself in. You see, God hasn't changed. He could just be saying, nodding his head as you speak to him this morning, just saying, "I know, and I've just been waiting for you to ask me. I know. And I'm not going to trick you. I'm not going to fool you. I'm going to give you the truth of my son Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you how much I love you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you." Now just reach out your hand and you can touch him this morning. Let's just pray this morning. Whatever your circumstances, just prepare your heart over the next couple of weeks and the next part of the series. Even this morning, you know, you don't, you say, sing that lovely, you don't leave here as you came in Jesus' name. You do not need to leave this place carrying any burdens, carrying any guilt. You don't need to leave this place thinking, "Well, how am I going to do that? How on earth am I going to work that out? Lord, just please help me. Please come to me in a way that you know this morning and break through the natural things that are going on around me to show me that you're in control. Lord, show me a sign." And that's what it is. Show me a sign this morning. Not a trick. Show me the reality of who you are. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you this morning for the preaching and teaching of your most precious word. Thank you that you have shown us how much you care for us, how much you love us, and that for you nothing is impossible. I thank you that you can break through on our lives right now, whatever situation that we find ourselves in, whether there's chaos that is reigning all around us. Father God, you can cause us not to sink but to rise above it. So Father, we see the things that are going on in our lives as great opportunities when we're faced with impossible situations, to see and to acknowledge the astonishing power of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for everything that you have done. We thank you that you haven't changed. It's become everything that you are doing in our lives right now, and for everything that you will do. Show us by faith how you will break through. Show us the path to lead this morning, Lord. And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.